Public Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Broadcasting.org. It is January 12, 2020. Just an onslaught of stimuli over the last week. I mean, my notes look like some, I don't know, just crazy. Let in with the rush. Of course, most of you have heard the iconic drummer. For those of us that are, you know, well into our 40s, 50s, and above, Neil Peart, the drummer from Rush, has died over the last, you know, week. And the massive outpouring of, you know, just condolences and so forth. The guy was truly a drumming, just, you know, probably right up there with John Bonham of Led Zeppelin as far as just a well-known drummer, and everybody my age and probably a little older, they all always, you know, he was always voted basically the best drummer in the world, et cetera, et cetera. I'm going to play a little clip. I was just digging around last night, you know, just looking at reactions of folks with Neil Peart's death, and I came across this lady, Medusa Storm 001, okay, Witch Files, some lady that, and I'm just going to play a little bit of this. Now, this is, it's interesting just to hear a little bit where this is either absolute mental illness, okay, like, we know everybody's like, got stalkers, and then when something big happens, somebody takes a point of view and tries to get some sort of fame out of it, etc., etc. Now, we all know about gang stalking, psychotronic weapons, so forth and so on. But I'm going to let this play for just a little bit, and then I am going to talk about it for a second, and then we'll move on. This is hard to kind of look at, but I you know, Rush being, well, Neil Peart being the lyrical force behind the band, very, a lot of futuristic sci-fi Ayn Randian stuff, you know, that sort of, it's almost like your Lovecraftian stuff, okay? So anyway, let's listen to a little bit of this. Go ahead and play clip 8.
Hello, everyone. Today is January 11th, 2020. This is Solaris Blue Raven. This is a brief video witch file. Let's see if it's brief or not. I wanted to put out this witch file today simply because of all the emails I've been receiving and people contacting me insofar as my response to Neil Peart's death. And I have to tell you, death isn't good enough for people like that. I hate to say it, but I will. I wish that the mainstream media would have focused on what the real crime was behind all these programs. And the real crime that I've been dealing with, insofar as the induction I went through, was due to the perpetrators, which of course was Neil Peart and the band Rush and Michael J. Mosbach. This crime never phased out. It never went away. It was shoved under the carpet. There was damage control being done by mainstream media, the entertainment industry, the music industry, the political industries, the law enforcement areas. There was, you know, you name it, they were covering up every bit of information and creating their own skewed lie and deception for the mass collective to digest. If you look at some of their videos between 2004 and 2012, 2015, before Peart decided to retire in the illusion of, you would see that they were trying to do damage control by putting out propaganda pieces, media pieces, trying to portray themselves as being this really nice group of people, when in fact, behind the scenes, they've been deploying illegally nefarious projects connected to psychotronic weapons, covert torture programs, synthetic telepathy, and a lot of other things that are literally kill shots. The artificial intelligence induction program that I went through is exactly that. It causes neural damage. It hijacks the central nervous system. It can cause schisms in the brain. It can create the illusion and delusion of people who might look like they're bipolar or schizophrenic. I mean, it does a lot of nefarious things. Peart was involved in these projects for a very long time, way before I even showed up on the radar in 2004. He got away with these crimes. He never once communicated the truth. He never once came in to talk about what he really did and how he was guilty and the perpetrator with Mosbach and the band. And also Curie, and I always say cunt, not tall, because it's appropriate, his wife, who literally is one of the perpetrators behind this corporate harassment program. So these people are, yes, they're guilty. And he departed from this illusion and delusion of a world without telling the truth. So, you know, it's not like, oh, I feel much better now that he's dead. No, actually, it's unresolved. And there was never any closure because these people didn't have the courage to stand up like I did and tell the truth. And you know what? Don't ask me about how I feel. I mean, I'm telling you right now in this video, it's not about feeling anymore. It's about where is the justice? Where is the justice? There is no justice in this world. And when people in the entertainment industry are overlooked and their crimes are overlooked because they're high profile in the illusion of and they're successful in some arena, that doesn't give them the right to do the nefarious programs and harmful acts that they've done, not only to myself, but to other people. You know, I might have mentioned this in a few witch files and I might have put it on my radio shows, but the idea behind neural interface would be the side effects. Some of the side effects can be very, very hazardous, and some of that can connect to brain cancer. Okay, so let's just put it like that. I was surprised, actually, that I outlived him, to be honest with you. I figured out I was on a fast track to be pretty much, what do you call it, expired, I guess is the word. I should have been expired years ago.
I just found it interesting. Neural interface. Now, we know about the neural lace that Elon Musk is going to be pushing in the next year or so onto the public. Neural interface and then the possibility of brain cancer, which is what is reported how Neil Peart died. I don't want to burn the dead, okay? Now there's a whole nother wing of this thing, Zachary K. Hubbard, which many of you know, and those of his kind of stripes on that side with the gematria and all that. I've been just stumbled across some of that. And there was some interesting stuff there, you know, basically somebody basically theorizing that this was some sort of a sacrifice, which they do in the rap hip hop world all the time. But even in the rock world, that Neil Peart was some sort of a sacrifice, you know, by the label and so forth. I mean, keep an eye on Rush's album sales and streaming it's going to just be massive. This is a big deal. A drummer of this stature dies at a relatively early age. You know, the tributes are pouring in all over the entertainment world and so forth. It's very, very interesting to watch. And I'm not saying that this lady, she could be a complete kook for all I know, but it's interesting because anybody my age growing up, Rush was one of those bands up there with Zeppelin and Sabbath and all those other ones, to where millions of kids picked up a pair of drumsticks because of Neil Peart. But I have to say this, some of the imagery, I've just been looking at some of the imagery on his kit, his drum kit, and the shirts he would wear, the Ouroboros and the various patriarchal crosses with the infinity symbol, which King Diamond and many of the people kind of in the satanic music realm, always Dave Navarro from Jane's Addiction and Red Hot Chili Peppers has the tattoo right on the bottom of his throat, top of his chest. A lot of these bands use some of the symbolism, the dark kind of element bands use this sort of symbolism. And I saw some of these things on Neil Peart on his shirts and this sort of thing, kind of interesting. But the neural kind of interfacing, when you get into the albums like 2112 and the lyrics on Hemispheres, Moving Pictures, all this stuff, it's very futuristic. And I'm not going to say transhuman, but if you get into some of this stuff, and this came out in the 70s, it's very, very just an interesting kind of parallels there. And so I'm not going to spit on the dead or anything, but I just stumbled upon that, and I figured I would bring that up, okay? I wrote this down from last week, and crazy behavior, and I was talking about this. And we see this saga continues with the no money bail stuff up there in New York City. And it's going on elsewhere, but New York City seems to be the real kind of petri dish of this. So there's guys running around beating women, okay, on the subways, out in public, and beating them, and then they're letting them right back out, okay, in jail. You've seen these pictures, and then it gets the racial divide and conquer really going, and this is what it's really meant for. But think about this. These EMF technologies and weapon systems, psychotronic weapon systems, have they turned the damn things up to another level to get people to act out in these silly, silly ways? Or is this something under the surface in the spiritual realm where it talks about in the last days, perilous times will come, and it gives you all those things that would happen, and without natural affection is one of those, where humans won't have natural affection towards one another, and everybody becomes cold and very harsh, and it's like the downward spiral encapsulated in some of these prophecies about these last days. And so could it be a cocktail of both? The EMF, the psychotronic assault on the population, cocktailed with the spiritual, let's just say, regression and, devolution of mankind itself. And then it's just like a horrible cocktail. The Iran thing, we're going to have to talk about this. I mean, there's so many angles here with the shoot down of the Ukrainian jetliner. I'm just looking. Some people are saying the Saudis did it. Other people are saying Unit 8200, the Israelis did it. Iran sitting here, they're saying that the Iraqi Republican Guard could have went rogue and did this as a move against the Ayatollah. I mean, everybody's got an opinion. Everybody, opinions are like rear ends, and everybody's got got one. And you're seeing this play out. And so I love these know-it-alls out here behind microphones that they're reading their favorite, you know, confirmation bias enforcing, you know, media, and then they just know it. And so the people that can't question their own confirmation biases, and the people that can't question all the angles, you really have to be leery of these people, folks. I don't care if they're on this network or others. When these people think they know it, and they're sitting here in their little, you know, cabin out in the woods, or then they're in their bunker in the basement or wherever, you know, I'm behind a laptop and a mic right now. And the more I research all this, the less I realize I know. And if people don't come at it with humility like that, and they're trying to tell you they know and blah, 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 you need to call them out, because this stuff is hard to discern. And especially if you're sitting there and you're not, you know, in the theater where these things are happening, you know, we all get burned by basically disinformation. And so we all have to be careful and say, look, I'm going to look at all these angles here, but then I'm going to, you know, come to the best conclusion I can. But at the same time, I'm still not going to act like it's the freaking the gospel, you know, just because I came to this conclusion. All right. We got to talk about Operation Ajax, 1953, the overthrow of Mossadegh, Mohammad Mossadegh. And, you know, to have these outside powers, the Brits basically in the United States, overthrowing the Iranian government at the time. You know, Israel was just born in 1948, so you got 5 years. The Israelis, you know, but they're wagging the dogs, you know, they're the tails wagging the dogs, the United States and Britain anyway. They were, you know, they were behind this stuff. But can you really blame Iran for hostility against Western powers, knowing that they're constantly running fifth column operations inside their country? Look what's going on right now. And I'm going to play some of these clips when I get a chance. But think about this. This is all just so scripted out. Okay. Soleimani, the alleged killing of this guy, who knows what happened? None of us do. Okay. You know, you got all this back channel stuff. Okay, so Soleimani allegedly gets whacked. Okay. Then the big funeral, and then we get the missile strikes on the base. Nothing really happened. And, you know, Pechenik and Alex Jones and all these guys were saying that the mullahs warned us and they had to save face somehow and blah, 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 blah. And then this airliner goes down. Okay. Now, you know, everybody and their brother's got an opinion on who did the airliner job. Okay. The Iranians allegedly, because that's all I'm going to say is allegedly. I mean, they admitted that somebody made a mistake and they're sorry and they shot this thing down. All right. And so now all of a sudden, just spontaneously, everybody's running around. Stepping on pictures, these posters of the Ayatollah. Where do they get these posters? You know, I mean, and I know that they carry these around, but so forth and so on. But now they're all of a sudden, they just flipped the script on the Ayatollah, and they forgot about Soleimani now, and then now they're all wanting to oust the Ayatollah. This is this is like a color revolution. What color they're going to use, hell, I don't know, but this is... you can see the fingerprints all over this operation, and you want it to be spontaneous. Sure. I was looking at the Gateway Pundit. Okay. But look at, I mean, it's just like protesters in Iran walk on poster of Supreme Leader. Okay. Now you had this girl that was a Taekwondo champion. She just happens to, I'm one of the oppressed women of Iran who they have been playing with for years. So, she's the sole female Olympic medalist. She defects to Canada. Now, this is funny because Trudeau, he's the first guy out here when the damn plane gets shot down. Trudeau, oh, we know the Iran. Wait a minute. Trudeau, the soft, weirdo, blackface, He wears his, you know, Islamic socks and all this weird stuff. All of a sudden, he becomes the hard-nosed anti-Iranian guy, and he's the first one out here. We know Iran did it. It's just, you know, so IRGC confessed they shot down the jet, and the Iran street explodes. Massive crowds call on the regime leadership to get out. Now the Iran regime allegedly attacks protesters, okay? So this is this play, this theater playing out now where, you know, we've done this numerous times with the Iranians where we've pumped them up to overthrow them, and then how many times have we basically let them get burned and then get crushed? Very fascinating here, and it's not nice, you know. But let's see here. Here's another one that's weird. Figures, Meghan and Harry. Now, we all know about the defection of Prince Harry and Meghan Markle, okay? Prince Harry, who's most likely not even Charles's kid. Meghan and Harry are staying at Clinton's billionaire pal's home linked to first uranium scandal and are being advised by the Obamas, okay? So think about this. You got the Iranian regime that looks like it's in trouble, okay? Now Harry and Meghan, they're pulling this thing on the royal family over here. Is the royal family getting set up for some sort of a big British kind of outcry where they're going to want to oust the royal family? It's an interesting angle. I sent myself this link earlier. Are the Saudis being set up for regime change right with the mullahs in Iran? Now, the Saudis are very close to Jared Kushner, and they're pretty close to the Israelis. But, you know, with the kind of wicked nature of Middle East politics right now, when this Soleimani hit allegedly went down, the first people that got called out were the House of Saud by the Iranians. So you got a real conflagration here that can happen with the House of Saud and the Iranian regime. Now, will the Israelis and the Brits and the United States, will they turn on Mohammed bin Salman or will they have his back? You know, this really, you know, they are a big swath of our people were really mad about this little Khashoggi operation. And so that almost looked like, okay, they're slowly setting up Mohammed bin Salman here for possibly to be deposed. Now, the whole thing with the Las Vegas shooting operation, the tie-in there where Prince Awali bin Talal and others were rounded up after that, and it looked like Mohammed bin Salman, that might have been a hit on him while they had this big Saudi convention in Vegas. You know, I'm over here on Sorcha Fall. Evidence proving Saudi Arabia downed the Ukraine airliner over Iran with advanced nano weapon appears confirmed. Iranian rockets fly, Ukrainian plane explodes over Iran, quake hits Iran nuke plant. The devil's horns rise from the Persian Gulf. I'm sure you've all seen the imagery of the sunrise, where it's the beginning and it looked like devil's horns. Very interesting. Ukraine plane downed by Saudis over Iran morphs into psychological warfare weapon to attack Trump. Okay. Virginia begins massive gun grab of its citizens as gunless people in New York are now allowed to rob banks. I mean, I don't know. We're in a weird place here. Now, over here on Veterans Today, you got Dr. Kevin Barrett, who, let's just say, he's Islamic, and so Ukrainian mystery solved. Shot down by Israel's Unit 8200? Just a couple hours ago, I heard on the radio an air traffic controller expert who had fairly recently worked in and with Iran saying he thought it was very possible that the airline downing, if it were a shoot down, as it looks like it was to him, would be due to an automation or software error, not a human one. And it clicked for me. This was an Israeli cyber terrorist attack that triggered Russian-made Iranian aircraft missile system to misfire against a friendly civilian target by a Unit 8200 backdoor into the friend or foe ID code conduited to Israel via Russian technology relations. I mean, yeah, how deep is the Israeli software into Russian systems is the question that we really have to ask ourselves. And, you know, I've never, you know, we know about the penetration of Israeli software and tech into the American systems. It's getting so bad now. And if I get time, I'm going to play this True News, a little bit of it with where Edward Zoll's interviewing Whitney Webb from Mint Press News, where they talk about how deep the Israeli kind of tech industry is in our military. But all over our intelligence, you know, sector, to where they got probably back doors all over the place. You know, a lot of the tech moving to Israel and so forth and so on. Very, very crazy. The Iranians accused Russia years ago of selling the codes to Iran's Russian-supplied anti-aircraft tech to Israel, and it was said that the compromised of the supplied codes would allow foe Israeli fighters to confuse Iranian anti-aircraft friend or foe ID systems to slip through Iranian airspace as friends. But of course, the penetrated friend or foe ID system could be flipped the other way, turning a friendly Ukrainian passenger airliner that just took off into a foe to be shot down. And the system would automate its cyber false flagged response before human intervention would be feasible, and it could all be tagged to human error. Now, the Iranians likely would have made some moves in regard to systems they believe compromised, but the word is, in this case, from sources in the Israeli press, that it was Russian-made TOR-M1 missiles that likely took down the plane. Okay? And chipsets in general, including swaths of military cyber architecture, are largely compromised worldwide. Everybody knows this with U.S. technology and backdoors and limits designed into U.S.-supplied military ballistic software. So you're selling them a gun that won't shoot straight, okay? This is likely why Russia and China are now attempting to build national security digital infrastructures that are totally indigenous. But countries like Iran and the U.S. are meanwhile very vulnerable to Israeli tech penetration. And we saw this all throughout the September 11th operation, Amdocs in Comverse, Infosys, all this stuff. I think in Israeli context, it was actually about a combination of deterrence and further demonization and discrediting of Iran internationally. And now look at these freaking riots going on and so forth. Let's see here. Okay, so the PSYOP to overthrow Khamenei, saying he okayed the hit on Soleimani. Now, you saw this with Dr. Steve Pachinik and others basically saying that there was a rift between Soleimani and the Ayatollah Khamenei. And so, therefore, in a lot of alternative media circles, you see this bubbling out, and this puts pressure on the Ayatollah that somehow he was basically jealous of Soleimani or in on the hit, and he green-lighted it and so forth and so on. So this puts him in a rather precarious position now. So the hit goes down on Soleimani. Now they shoot down this this Ukrainian airliner, and there was a bunch of different kind of hyphenated Iranian Canadians and so forth. But we're going to talk about this, why this was a Ukrainian airliner, which is kind of fascinating. We'll see you guys on the other side of the break. I had my fair share of hard times. In my life, I must confess.
are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Many people tell us about their experience with Extendivite. Just listen to what Glenn has to say.
Prior to taking it, I had diabetic neuropathy. The Extendivite reduced that significantly. Acid reflux was reduced. I had athlete's foot, very severe. Trimmed that down to about 75%. Dandruff, almost completely gone. I had occipital neuralgia at the base of my skull. I was having migraines, reduced by about 90%. Heart palpitations, my heart would kind of stall out. I would skip a beat. Very uncomfortable. And when walking from downstairs going to sleep, by the time I got to the bedroom, which is just one flight of stairs, my heart was pounding, coming out of my chest. My vision was blurry. This completely solved that problem. Great product. Thanks.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
All right, here we go. Incendiary radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network. You know, crazy, crazy stuff. So back to Kevin Barrett real quick. We're going to talk about Ukraine. Iran's finicky and all over the place response make me think that this alleged covert terrorist show of Israeli cyber force is exactly what happened. Well, he's not. Let's just say he's got his own dog in this hunt. Kevin Barrett does, and we know he does. They are likely between a rock and a hard place. They would have to admit culpability while also advancing facts that might publicly disclose that the Israelis, likely via a Russian technological conduit, have a massive deterrent and worse, admit a likely compromised Iran to aggressive air attacks. Okay. Now, I'm on to this one here. So think about this. Okay, so what are the chances that a Ukrainian airliner leaving Tehran? I mean, no other country. The one country where all of this CrowdStrike, the quid pro quo, the new president Poroshenko getting his offices and his properties raided. So the impeachment saga, okay, all having to do with the Ukraine. Remember Vindman, little Jewish lieutenant colonel, all these Jews trying to, you know, be involved with the Jew coup, as Rick Wiles called it. And now all of a sudden, one of their planes goes down, killing 167, allegedly. I just think the statistical probability that a Ukrainian plane, out of all the other kind of planes in the world, and I haven't really heard anybody like, you know what, this just reeks to me that a Ukrainian plane, and all the crap with the Ukraine and the news and the impeachment saga, and the kind of tight relationship between Trump and this new guy versus Poroshenko and the last regime here in the United States. I mean, is this payback by an Obama Kerry faction, the Brennan faction, for the new president of Ukraine? Not so it was a quid pro quo. I don't know the way that these people deal in death expendable human beings. None of us can really, really nail this down. But for me, the statistical probability with the Ukrainian plane and Iran, and now the psychological warfare, the fifth columns come out in Iran, and now it's destabilization and possible regime change here right after this Soleimani operation, disappearance, whatever they did with this guy. Whose asset double, triple, quadruple agent Soleimani allegedly was. There's a lot of simpletons that are unwilling to go layers down when you're talking about, you know, these things. And some of the simpletons are behind microphones. And unfortunately, they get sucked into first or second layer disinformation. And then they're sitting here getting hot under the collar about A, B, C, and D, when it's just like, dude, this is they don't call it the grand chessboard for nothing. All the sickos like Zbigniew Brzezinski. It is a grand chessboard, and all of us are the pawns. And so all of us pawns that think what we know what the knight or the rook or the queen or the king's doing, you're making yourself look rather silly. And so, you know, I just get fed up with people and you know, when I listen to, because I'm a talk radio junkie, just like all you guys are. And so I flip around and I listen to people. And it's interesting. This guy's been on rents a couple. Let me see. Where's my guy? But a really good. Let me see what he was at. A man behind his mission, okay? This a man beyond his mission. Let me type that in real quick. And his name's Mitchell something. On Amazon.com. Okay. Yeah. Let's see here. Mitchell Henderson, yeah. Now he's been on rents the last few months, and he does really good interviews, and he talks about this B team, which comprised all these guys Jimmy Carter basically fired from the CIA, and it was basically the Bush faction, all right. And then and then it really gets into the whole thing with, you know, all the drug dealing and the false flag operations and the assassinations and dirty money laundering. It's interesting, like, you look at the B team concept that he talks about, where basically this is the rogue government, and it, you know, and it can comprises people in both parties and so forth and so on. Very fascinating. So everybody kind of look into that. I'm just going to leave that there. Let's see. Want to talk about this. So the Iraqi parliament voting to, let's just say, a non-binding resolution to tell the American troops, you know, get on out. So we bought this we built this Vatican-sized embassy in Baghdad. And, you know, we had this little fake letter by one of the two-star generals saying, yeah, we're going to prepare to get ourselves out of here. So there's all this stuff and now they're saying, no, we're not leaving, and all that crap. But here's the thing. China, you see this all over. China offers help to Iraq. Okay? So, and I've tried to emphasize this before, and I'm not the empire guy. I don't like the thought of the American empire. You know, it seems to be kind of crumbling around the edges, you know, shades of the Roman. But here's the thing, and I talk about this Pandora's box concept and the concept of vacuums. Okay, so like it or not, we became this sprawling military empire, hundreds of military bases and countries all over this world, troops stationed all over and everywhere. So now, as you know, people becoming disillusioned with this concept, and you know, the economy being stretched thin, troops sucking up a lot of money, you know, the big Pentagon budget. So you get the Bernies and the AOCs and even the Rand Pauls and Ron Paul, this kind of more of a shrink the military type, ethos. And that's fine. Unfortunately, with our behavior over the last 100 years, we've created now competing factions of empire, especially right now China. Now, you could say China's, you know, secretly being controlled by A, B, C, and D, and their paper tiger, and blah, 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 blah. But what's going on here, regardless, is this. The more we shrink now and say, let's put our troops on the border, bring them home, and we've all talked about this, and this would be a great thing if we could. At the same time, we're locked into like this Velcro struggle here with other powers now that want to fill the vacuum. And I was talking about this last week with Africa, the amount of Chinese investment and projection of power into Africa. And I talked about this stuff with Australia with these fires. And now they've arrested a whole bunch of people, and some people are actually trying to kind of put this in an arson jihad territory or category. And I don't, you know, the Chinese, I just think that they're very rapacious when it comes to resources, land, goods, food, especially water rights and this sort of thing. And then we, you know, we had our rapacious moment, and we still have it. But the point I'm making is, and I don't like looking at this, is but the quickness with which, you know, this Belt and Road stuff, the movement of China into everywhere they can get into, and the projection of their power through these front companies, which are actually just arms of the communist government, which it's not really communist. It's more or less corporatist / you know, communist management system for the herd, where the Politburo gangsters get to live, become multimillionaires, billionaires, and so forth. You know, it's a plutocratic oligarchy in China, just like it is here, but a much more brutal, you know, they'll straight harvest your organs. Now, there's people in various sectors of the United States are very leery right now of the hospital, the medical industrial complex, because they think that this is happening by stealth here. And I mean, think about it. You got a relative that dies. Who knows if they don't have some way of harvesting your organs up and then stuffing you full of, you know, some sort of a styrofoam to make your body still look intact and there ain't no damn organs. How many people really, like, if you have a loved one that dies, how many of you are going to go check and see if there's liver still there? I mean, I don't like to be brutal like this, but how do we know that this isn't happening here, just on a much more stealthy and slick way? Because none of us are really paying attention here either. All right. So I got an article up. I might as well talk about it. Where is it now? Okay. Now it's this one. Is the dystopian Soylent Green movie here today? And this is on TexMars.com, the late, great Tex Mars. So in the futuristic movie Soylent Green, set in the year 2022, isn't that amazing? The world is a horrible place to live. The temperature is never below 90 degrees Fahrenheit. Millions of people are out of work. Homelessness is abundant. The police are corrupt, and the government is a small branch of the Soylent Corporation, which is an international conglomerate that controls two-thirds of the world's food supply. The corporation manufactures cheap crackers out of chemicals and vegetable matter to feed the masses. The controllers of the corporation are elitists who are able to indulge in the luxuries of the world that they get on the black market. Women are considered only sexual objects and have the value of a piece of furniture. There are no trees and no animals. All water is rationed, strife is rampant, and there are staggering numbers of murders a day. The value of life is considered minimal. As one gets old or ill, you are kindly euthanized. The world is presented as a bleak picture of human misery caused by overpopulation, global warming, and food, water, and energy shortages. Now, tune into present-day news. There are murders daily. Many of our political leaders are sounding the call of the crisis of global warming, now being gently called climate change. All these Hollywood people really make me sick, by the way, and I'll talk about that in a minute. We're constantly being warned of the upcoming food and energy shortages. Most of the media are on the bandwagon, screaming that the masses are polluting the world and overpopulating planet Earth. Our government, local and federal, is corrupt. Big Pharma is encroaching into everyone's life. Euthanasia, or the act of assisted suicide, is common practice in several countries today. With people trying to play God, the sanctity of life is mostly gone. The correlation between this movie and what is occurring today is astonishing. For example, at Congresswoman Ocasio-Cortez's speaking event to her constituency in New York, a climate change protester started praising Ms. Cortez for a new Green New Deal, but that was not enough. Let's see. Then we know this. We got to start eating babies. We don't have enough time. There's too much CO2. All of you are a pollutant. Too much CO2. We have to start now. You're so great. I'm so happy that you really support the Green New Deal, but it's not enough. Even if we bomb Russia, we still have too many people. So we have to get rid of babies. That's a big problem. We need to eat babies. This is very serious. Please give a response. But, you know, you all remember that, and a lot of people think that was a plant, you know. But anyway, there's been a controversy about an article alleging that food companies such as Pepsi-Cola, Kraft, and Nestle's have sold products manufactured using the tissue of aborted human babies. These companies adamantly claim they do not. They do admit partnering with a company called Sonomics, which is a U.S.-based biotech company focused on discovering and developing innovative flavor ingredients for the food, beverage, and ingredient supply industries. Human embryonic kidney 293 cells, known as HEK-293, were derived from the kidney cells of an aborted human embryo in 1972. This cell line is widely used in efforts such as cell biology research and biotechnology pharmaceutical development. Sonomics does admit to having a relationship with Pepsi-Cola to try and help them reduce sugar in the future products. However, Pepsi-Cola does not conduct or fund research that utilizes any human tissue or cell lines derived from human embryos. Can we believe such corporations? Planned Parenthood has been caught selling aborted baby parts. It's horrendous to think that where these aborted baby parts are going. Going back to the prophetic movie Soylent Green, we found out at the end of the movie, after you've been euthanized, you are taken to the processed at the corporation and are ground into the crackers, Soylent Green. Anyway, think about this. That same stem cell line is all throughout the vaccine industry as well. And so what a lot Mike Adams from Natural News and many others are basically their hypothesis is that all these vaccines are full of aborted fetal cells and derivatives and so forth, and very, very crazy, crazy stuff. Let's see here. Let's go ahead. I want to bring this up. We got a few minutes before the break. Ken, get clip 6 ready. Joy Behar and The View, kind of half praising Richard Spencer, our little alt-right darling, you know, one of the kind of Charlottesville PSYOP guys. He's the guy that got caught recording all the people in his audiences a few years back when he was going on his little speaking tours, had this little secret recording. Probably some sort of an asset for an Alphabet or something of this nature. Pictures of him with Laura Bush and, you know, interesting stuff. But anyway, now this is from the Blaze TV. This is Glenn Beck's little channel, YouTube channel. And this is, I guess this is a Jewish girl. I guess she works for the Blaze. She gets her little Jewish accent real good, but... So I want you to listen to Joy Behar, okay, and her kind of gushing over Richard Spencer throwing Trump under the bus. But I really also want you to listen to the Blaze host, the narrator here, for the PSYOP that she's bringing you, okay? Because she's going to basically trash pro-whites, okay, in general, okay, and to pull the usual kind of Semitic white nationalists are all genocidal and they want to kill off Whoopi Goldberg and so forth. But so listen to the various psyops going on this clip, both from the host of this Blaze and listen to Joy Behar and the ladies. So let's go ahead and roll clip 6.
All right, we all know Joy Behar has a really bad case of Trump derangement syndrome. But what you might not know is that Joy Behar has actually teamed up with white nationalists to own the cons.
There was one small thing you were saying, what's some good news? This is a tiny thing that I noticed. You remember Richard Spencer? He's basically the organizer of Unite the Right.
Lunatic.
The white nationalist group that was marching in Charlottesville. It was all in for Trump. Not anymore. Here's his quote. He tweeted last night, "I deeply regret voting for and promoting Donald Trump in 2016.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow. I mean, that's good. That's interesting.
Do you know why?
Well, because it has to do with Trump, like I said yesterday, right? Trump ran on not invading and not being a war.
That's what I'm talking about. This was...
These people...
Wait, so it's a good thing to share foreign policy ideas with white nationalists? Maybe the white supremacists aren't so bad if they don't like Donald Trump. Perhaps we've been a little hard on the people who would like to see you, Whoopi, wiped off the face of the planet. They're not fans of President Trump, so we can be friends now. And what about the audience? The people in the audience just clapping their like seals. Yes! Three cheers for the white supremacist who doesn't want war with Iran because he doesn't want white people to die. Because he wants to create a white ethnostate and wipe everyone else out. Yes. Yes. We agree on Trump. Yes. Good news. I mean, this gives a whole new meaning to the term, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. And you literally could be the world's worst person, and as long as you hate Donald Trump or disagree with something he does, the left will take you in their club with open arms. So I see here that you are a murderer.
Yep.
I also see here that you are a rapist.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Also on here, you abuse your children.
Yep.
And you're not sorry for any of it.
Nah.
You're a huge racist.
Yeah, that's me.
But you don't like Donald Trump.
Ugh, that guy is the worst.
Huh. You're in. These people.
All right, you can stop it there. Now you see, this is your kosher, zio-conservative, Turning Point USA. This is a perfect synopsis, an encapsulation of how they play psychological warfare games on the mind of the unsuspecting, regular, you know, red-blooded, you know, truck-driving, just regular old American guy that listens to kind of, you know, network talk radio like on the dial. This is how they get you, you see? So Richard Spencer, number one, is not conservative. He denounces conservatives. He's an ethno kind of I would say Bolshevik, maybe. He's a real screwed up individual. But the way she paints it is that somehow him and his ilk are genocidal. They want to genocide Whoopi. So there's the black-white divide and conquer. A lot of these folks in the white nationalist sector, they don't want to harm anyone else. They want to separate, just as your black nationalists, your Hebrew Israelites, your Nation of Islam, 5%ers, all these groups in the black sector, a lot of them are separatists. See, but that's okay. That gets glossed over in the Zio media, because anytime a white person wants to be to separate or live on their own or among their own, or freely associate with who they want to, well, that's unacceptable. You see, because the agenda right now is to break the back of any kind of unity among Europeans, okay? And that's just because the powers that be consider them basically a very formidable foe in the taking over of the hegemony of the planet, okay? And so that's what that's about. You can read all kinds of various Jewish thinkers wanting to break what they call white supremacy, which is just basically white people making their way in the world. Okay. Anyway, so let's see here. Let's do this side. Oh, we got about 4 minutes left. Well, about 3 minutes. Ken, get clip 7 ready. This is proof that there's factions of CIA all over Iran still. Okay, let's roll clip 7.
CNN gives platform to Iranian who once said she'd shoot U.S. hostages in the head. CNN gave a platform to an Iranian government official who once said that she wouldn't hesitate to shoot American hostages in the head. Mousumeh Ebtekar, the current vice president of Iran for Women and Family Affairs, was formerly the spokesperson for the extremist students who stormed and occupied the U.S. Embassy during the Iran hostage crisis of 1979, where 52 Americans were held hostage for 444 days. She was also once asked if she would shoot U.S. hostages in the head, and responded
all right, go ahead,
by
stop
remark-
it there. Now, this, we all saw this lady on CNN. So she was back in 79. She was the spokesman for the big embassy debacle at the end of Jimmy Carter's presidency and before Reagan came in. Okay. So she's been around for that long. Now, we know, if you've been listening to this guy that I was talking about, this B-team concept, the B-team ran the Iran hostage crisis in order to get Jimmy Carter out of office. I'm going to stop it there, and then we will come back right after the top of the hour, and we'll finish this incendiary radio.
When your doctor tells you have bad cholesterol or blockages in the arteries, what do you do? When diet and exercise is not enough, we try medications and hope for the best. For the last 2 decades, I have been telling people about a natural method to help solve these problems and more. Extendivite can help maintain cardiovascular health and lower blood lipid levels in adults. The 7 herbs in Extendivite are known to work together synergistically to get the results we hope for. There are many testimonials on Extendivite's effect on circulatory-related ailments. Get Extendivite today to start your journey back to a healthier life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or see us on amazon.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
This is our